Just take your Bibles and turn in them with me to the Old Testament first, to Joshua chapter 2. It's found on page 227 in the Pew Bibles. Joshua 2. Continue our series through Joshua. Children, you're probably getting pretty good at turning to Joshua at this point, finding where it's at in the Old Testament. It's wonderful to know where the books of the Bible are in order, that familiarity. Joshua 2, we'll read the entire chapter, but our focus will be on the first 14 verses. People of God, hear now the very words of God. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." And they went and came into the house of a prostitute, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction." As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." And the men said to her, "Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. She said to them, "Go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward you may go your way." The men said to her, "We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." Then she sent them away and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went into the hills and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. Then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they told him all that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "Truly, the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us." Let us turn in the New Testament to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew. Matthew 1. It's found on page 1025 in the Pew Bibles. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We'll read the first six verses, first part through the first part of verse 6. Children, listen to hear where Rahab comes up in this reading. Matthew 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David, the king. Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 11. This is found on page 1284. There we'll read only verse 31, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 31. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Our text takes us back to Joshua chapter 2. Congregation, maybe you've seen pictures, maybe even videos of the fires in California. Much destruction. Much destruction coming from them, no doubt. We think of the people who are around there, who lived in the houses, who work in the area. They're thankful to the firefighters and others who warn them, who protect them, who even need to at times rescue them. Well, in our series through Joshua, there's a different type of destruction that's headed toward Jericho. It's not a wildfire of sorts. It's very purposeful. There's a definite, direct spiritual cause that will come upon Jericho and the destruction there. And it's a pointer, as we've seen, to the eternal destruction that will come upon all evildoers. Now, what we see even here and what we hear and read throughout the Bible is that God does not delight in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn and are saved. And we see this with Rahab, one who lived in Jericho, that there will be rescue for her. There is hope. As I proclaim to you this morning, God rescues those heading to destruction. God rescues those heading to destruction. And first we want to consider Rahab, wicked Rahab, first seven verses. Now the conquest of the promised land is about to begin. Israel is still on the east side of the Jordan River. The land of Canaan is on the west side of the river, and Israel must cross that river yet. They will get there, Lord willing. But first, Joshua sends two spies secretly to view the land, especially Jericho. Now, we don't know exactly why Joshua did this, why he wanted this information. Seems that he sent the spies before God would give him the instructions of besieging Jericho. We'll read of that again, Lord willing, in chapter 6. Perhaps he was planning the siege. He wanted more precise information before crossing, because then Jericho would be completely inaccessible. We read that in chapter 6, verse 1. Now, there's no indication here of doubt or of faithlessness with Joshua. In fact, one could say that in sending two spies, he was calling to mind the two faithful spies a generation ago, of which Joshua was one. It seems that Joshua was taking careful measures in planning. So we probably shouldn't see anything sinful in this for Joshua. Now, these spies, as we read, they came to Jericho. They went, they came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. Of course, the spies were not intending to engage in immoral behavior. But what better place to be secret, to appear normal in concealing their identity than going to a prostitute, a house of ill repute? Not only was that good cover, but the house was on a wall. Perhaps that location also played into their plans in terms of searching out the land, viewing the land, especially Jericho. We don't know all the details, but we do know some of what this tells us already about Rahab. First, she lives in Jericho. Therefore, she is a Canaanite. Rahab was part of the idolatrous, wicked Canaanites. Well, that's a problem for her. Even though many today would not consider that to be bad, in God's eyes, idolatry is horrible, leading to so many other sins, as we read in Romans 1. Now, we saw last time from Deuteronomy that the main wickedness God brings out of the Canaanites is their idolatry. That's something to ponder. Idolatry is a gross sin. As we saw last time also, the church is not to take up earthly weapons against idolaters or idolatry, but that doesn't mean idolatry is harmless. Idolatry is legal in our country, but that doesn't make it any less wicked before God. Young people, the world will tell you, whatever religion you choose, it's fine. Eternal consequences, we'll also tell you the differences between one religious group and another. They're all minor. Don't we all worship the same God? Aren't we all feeling one part of the elephant? And we just have different ways of describing God or the way to God. It doesn't matter what church you belong to, as long as you go to church. Even that sometimes we don't hear from much of our culture. But all those messages, they're lies. Idolatry has eternal consequences. It is utter wickedness. And the world is filled with it. Our own sinful hearts, by nature, we are idol factories, as the theologian John Calvin would say. This wickedness is within us too. Now, while we are ashamed of the idolatry within our hearts, and we confess it and by God's grace repent of it, Rahab, being a Canaanite at near this time, was an open idolater, as far as we can tell. An idolater. Now, also being a Canaanite meant that Rahab was under the ban. She was devoted to destruction. She and all that she had were to be destroyed. Again, we saw that last time about the question if there is such a thing as holy war. But there's more. What stands out to many people is that Rahab was a prostitute. Now, that's an accurate translation. And from these verses, it appears Rahab was not married. In verses 12 and 13, she pleads for her father's house rather than her husband, her own household. It seems as though she owns this house rather than someone else owning it. It appears she runs this establishment. Now, being a prostitute, being a Canaanite, what would Rahab know of fearing the true God? Her God was money, perhaps pleasure, influence, maybe food. She fit with what the Canaanites were. Their religions were filled with prostitutes, even having them at religious shrines. That was common for pagans. This would not commend her to the Israelite spies, nor to God, for that matter. Now, we think back, children, you think of Noah's time. What did God say of Noah? When the world was filled with violence, there was Noah. He was righteous in his generation. That could not be said of Rahab, not by her lifestyle. In this way, Rahab is no Noah. Related to this, as we read in this chapter, is that apparently Rahab told lies very easily. But that fits with her being a prostitute. multiplying lies and unfaithfulness among men. No doubt she would have told many lies in the course of keeping her previous client's secret confidential. Now, what comes to mind is, well, was it good she told these lies to protect the Israelite spies? As we read from Hebrews, it was good that she gave a friendly welcome to the spies. That's right from God's word. It was good she protected the spies. It was good she allied herself with Jehovah instead of the Canaanite idol gods. Those were good things. Were the lies good? Let us say that wherever in Scripture Rahab is commended, it is for her faith. She is commended for her faith and for helping the Jewish spies. We read that Hebrews 11, James 2 has something similar. She's never commended for her lie. Beyond that, this morning, we won't say anything regarding thus saith the Lord about it. We can say, though, that the Jericho soldiers believed Rahab's lie. That was a work of God. All this is a work of God, who sovereignly brings to pass his will, even when it includes choosing to bring Rahab out of idolatry, harlotry, lies, destruction unto himself. We move to that more in our second point, that Rahab is also chosen. She has chosen Rahab. Earlier, we wondered why Joshua would send two spies to spy out Jericho. Why would God allow him to do that? After all, just a short while later, again, Lord willing, we'll come to it, God will appear to Joshua and tell him exactly how to besiege Jericho. We can also see that any information about Jericho the spies gathered and brought back, would it be any good for the battle God wanted him to wage? Now, we don't know the full plan of God. He is God. But what's obvious is that the Lord used this to rescue Rahab. Humanly speaking, without these spies entering into Jericho, staying with Rahab, Rahab would never have been protected from the destruction. She and all her household would have been caught up in that destruction. But God had chosen Rahab. Long before any of this was going on, before even sin entered the world, before God had created the heavens and the earth, in his eternal counsel, God chose Rahab. And in his providence, in order to bring Rahab out of destruction into the community of believers, God had Joshua send these spies. How wondrous are the works of our God. Of course, in his choosing Rahab, God knew all the sin and sinfulness of Rahab. God did not choose Rahab because of those things. But also, God did not pass over the other Canaanites because of their sin. God does not choose or elect someone based upon who they are or what they do. His election is unconditional. He is sovereign. God has his reasons. But his reasons are not based on anything within us, something that separates us morally from those whom he passes over. Now, some might say, well, why should I seek to do any good if it doesn't get me anywhere with God? Well, friend, if that's why you are outwardly serving God, coming to church, giving in the offering plate, praying or reading the Bible, you're missing the point. If you think God rewards someone with good based upon the good they do or the evil they try to avoid, you lack a basic understanding about God, about yourself, about Christianity. There is nothing in any of us to commend us to God. Salvation is all of grace. It is all of grace. From beginning to end, from God's choosing in eternity past to sending his son Jesus to suffer and die in order to reconcile sinners to God, to his sending his spirit into the hearts of his chosen ones to work faith, to work repentance. It's all of grace from beginning to end and everywhere in between. It is all of grace. And in that way, Rahab is like Noah. We referred to Noah earlier. And Rahab is like us, and we are like her. Now, if someone asks why God chose Rahab, one might just as well ask why God chooses anyone. He hasn't told us. That is left hidden in God. What is revealed to us is that God did choose Rahab. And not only did God choose to rescue Rahab from idolatry, prostitution, lying, and destruction, but as far as we know, from what we read in Matthew 1, God chose Rahab to be an ancestor of David and of Jesus, the Messiah. Think of that. The sinless Christ, the Savior from sin, the Son of God, as human, has in his past the idolatrous, lying, harlot, Canaanite Rahab. On the one hand, that might appall people. But on the other hand, we shouldn't be surprised at it, because every one of Christ's ancestors was a horrible sinner, under God's wrath by nature. And so are you and I. We are all horrible sinners by nature under God's wrath. And yet, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. God sent Jesus to be the firstborn of many brothers whom God will conform to the image of Christ. And so there are different ways we need to view this. What about you? Do you think your sins are too great? Do you think that who you are, what you have done, disqualifies you from God's grace? It does not. God is angry with sinners. That's true. That's clear. But God graciously reaches out and saves sinners, horrible, wretched sinners, which all of us are. Christ did not come to seek and to save the righteous, but sinners. And Jesus suffered God's wrath against sinners as he hung on the cross. And Jesus rose from the dead on the third day so that sinners would be justified, declared righteous, forgiven. God calls all sinners. Cast yourself upon Jesus. Trust him. For the sake of Jesus, God forgives all your sins. Believer. Regardless of what they are, God chose Rahab unto grace and glory. Praise God for his grace. Before we move on to our third point, there is one other effect from these spies being sent that we see. And we read that in the final verse of this chapter, that they returned and they encouraged Joshua with the utter terror God had worked within the city. Think here ahead of Gideon, don't we? Children, you remember Gideon? God told him to go and fight the Midianites. They said, you know, you have too many men. Send some home. You still have too many men. Do this test so you're left with just a few. And Gideon was afraid. He was afraid. Not only did he use the fleece to help Gideon, but he had Gideon go down to the Midianite camp itself and listen. And there Gideon heard one Midianite interpret another Midianite's dream that Gideon would destroy the Midianites. From his foe's own mouth, Gideon heard of the coming victory of Israel. So too would these spies. From the mouth of the Canaanite, they heard of the terror in Jericho and the coming victory of Jehovah. What an encouragement that would be to Joshua and to all Israel. Coming from Rahab. Turning back to our passage, to Rahab, we have her before us. And we've seen that she's wicked, we've seen she's chosen, but we also see now, in our third point, she is converted. Converted Rahab. Verses 8 through 13. Now there are two sections in this set of verses. The first section, verses 8 through 11, contains Rahab's confession of faith. And the second, verse 12 and 13, contains her request. Now, Rahab, she wastes no time after the Jericho soldiers left. Before the men, the Israelites, lay down, she came up to them on the roof, we read. And she confessed something. Verse 9, she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. She confessed her faith to them. That was a basic faith, but it was a true faith. It was centered on the true God and on His mighty deeds to rescue His people. We're told in Scripture it was a true faith because we read from Hebrews 11, verse 31. And that tells us, by faith, Rahab. She welcomed the spies. Now, she did not confess to them her harlotry. She did not confess to them her lies, as far as we know. But she did go against the idolatry she had formerly engaged in as a Canaanite. She confessed to them that the Lord is God. And repeatedly, she uses the covenant name of God, the Lord. We see that in our Bibles in all caps, L-O-R-D. That's how we in English get across that this is the word Yahweh or Jehovah. She is claiming this God as the true God, asking Him to be her God. Can she recount some of what the Lord had done? Dried up the water of the Red Sea, the victory over Sihon and Og. Reports of this had reached her ears, the ears of all those in Jericho. And she says in verse 11, as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted. There was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Their hearts melted in fear, but God filled Rahab's heart also with faith. It was clear to Rahab that Jehovah is God. Now she speaks about her emotions, although they're not nice emotions, uplifting emotions, but the emotion of fear, great fear. But even still, her focus is not on herself. You see where her focus is? It's on God. It's what He has done. And people of God, that is the way anyone ever will be converted, not by our proclaiming us and our experiences, but by proclaiming the mighty works of God. Specifically, for us today, Christ and Him crucified, raised from the dead. And it's also clear to Rahab, she says, I know, that the Lord has given Israel the land. The Canaanites are all afraid of Israel, of the Lord. They know what's coming. They can see it clearly before them. Again, we think of the wildfires out west. You see the fire coming. Their eyes are wide open to it. But there's a great difference between Rahab and the other inhabitants of Jericho. And that difference is found here in the second part of this point, in her request. Verse 12, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house. She casts herself upon the mercies of the Lord. She asks them to deal kindly with her father's house, to deliver their lives from death. She's asking for salvation. Now, did she know the depth of it as we do today? No, we have much more revealed to us. But the Lord has worked that truth in her heart. They had heard that Sihon and Og were devoted to destruction, this holy war against them. They know that's coming their way. They know they cannot stand. They're all terrified. She has that fear too. But what does she do? And children, this is a wonderful thing to do whenever you're afraid. Focus on the greatness of God. Children, if you wake up at night, or maybe you can't get to sleep at night, maybe you're worried, you're afraid, pray to God. Tell Him your fears. He knows them, yes, but it's good for us to express that to God, to tell Him. Ask Him to calm your fears, to strengthen your faith. Remember what God has done, how mighty He is. That we, trusting Him, have no reason to be afraid. It's a wonderful way to spend the time when you can't sleep. You are afraid. And moving back to Rahab, she wanted Israel to deal kindly with her father's house, to give them a sure sign. A sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. This is a sense of an earnest pleading from her. Now, these are just spies. They're not the commander. They're not a priest. But she knows they are greater than she is in one sense. Now, she doesn't seek to be made the lord or the queen of Jericho. She doesn't seek a vineyard in the land. She certainly had no idea or hopes of being an ancestor of the Messiah. She merely wants to live. Think ahead to the New Testament where the Canaanite woman pleaded with Jesus to deliver her daughter from demon possession in Matthew 15. She cries out for scraps from the table of God's children. She turned her back on her country, which ordinarily that would have been horrible. But given the spiritual condition of the country, according to God's clear judgment, it was commendable she did that. She sought to be found among God's children, to come under the protection of Jehovah, to have this ban lifted from her. And isn't that, in essence, what every true believer cries out for? Dear friend, are you? And each of us is steeped in sin, is wicked to the core by nature. But the good news goes forth to you, to me today, even more clearly than it did to Rahab. God has come. God has sent his son, Jesus, and Jesus has conquered. Not by destroying sinners at this point, but by offering himself in the place of sinners. Taking upon himself that destruction, that guilt, that penalty, that ban. And on the third day he rose from the dead. Here is grace. Here is mercy. Here is the power of God. Salvation. Salvation to all who are in Jesus, to all who believe him. Trust him. Cast yourself upon Jesus at all times. I'm no Jewish spy, but I have been appointed as a herald to proclaim the good news of Jesus and to call all to repent and believe, assuring you, believer, that in Christ you are right with God. Your guilt is forgiven. You are given eternal life. Have no fear. Your heart no longer needs to melt in fear. Rest in faith. And people of God, God has anointed you as Christians to confess Christ's name to others. Yes, I'm the preacher, but you also are Christians going forth into every area of this land to tell others of salvation in Jesus. For the one who refuses to renounce the world, the flesh, or the devil, there is only God's wrath. But to all those who by God's grace repent and believe, believer, have no doubt. You've been adopted as God's children. You've been given life, eternal life. Praise God. What I declare to you as God's preacher, God's servant, these spies also conveyed to Rahab in their own fashion. We come to that in our fourth point, that Rahab, by faith, was accepted. She is also accepted, Rahab, verse 14. Now, Rahab had cried out for mercy. She cast herself in faith on the God of Israel, and these spies assure her of her acceptance. As we read, the men said to her, "Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." She received what she had asked. "Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened." Now, the words the spies use here, kindly and faithfully, those are covenantal words, chesed emet in the Hebrew language. They're found throughout our English Bible, although translated sometimes a little differently, steadfast love and truth. Here, kindly, faithfully. there is now a bond between Rahab and Israel, because there has been a bond established between Jehovah and Rahab. The spies clearly base it in the faithfulness of God Himself, for they speak of the Lord giving them the land, that it is then they will deal kindly and faithfully with her. Notice their own faith. They don't say, if the Lord gives us the land, but when the Lord. It's not arrogance on their part. It would be if they were on a mission from man in their own strength. But we see they're living according to God's promise, God's charge. It is sure. When, not if. It's the same certainty you and I are to have with our God today through Jesus. And this certainty, this assurance, allows us to do what the spies did. These two Israelite spies did something wonderful. They spoke the word of peace to Rahab. When a soul is troubled and cries out to God for mercy, what a blessing it is to speak words of comfort, words of peace. Now, there are some people who say, I don't know if I myself am a believer. How can I give those words? You see, it's only believers that can give these words. And we are to give them. We are to speak them. We hear at one's deathbed or a funeral cries, mourning, perhaps wondering, how blessed to be able to tell a grieving loved one that this person, a believer, died as a believer, died joined to Jesus. How blessed to tell someone who is still alive, wondering about themselves, cast yourself upon Jesus and you will be saved. Not if, will. When? It's guaranteed. Not by our strength, but God's promise in Christ. It's that message of peace the Israelite spies spoke to Rahab. Again, it wasn't Joshua. I speak a word of peace, but you too are called to go out as Christians to encourage one another, as we read in Thessalonians. Comfort one another. Rahab, you're accepted. And as God's servant, I declare those same words to you, believer. You are accepted. Not because of your merits, not because even you're sorry for your sin, but because of Jesus, His blood, His righteousness. That's why you are accepted before God. Have no doubt, believer, you are accepted. Now, Rahab must still live in Jericho for a time, but her heart is no longer there. No doubt she would be tempted to fear the soldiers, the king, that they would find out what she did. After all, she apparently is going to tell her father and mother and brothers and their households. It'll be quite a gathering there. But no longer does she have this greater fear of certain destruction. She's been assured, and she can now live. And so it is to be in our lives, brothers and sisters. We live in the midst of a hostile world where many things can go wrong. But believing in Jesus, you're safe. Have no fear. But what is it that troubles you? Is it the weather? Is it the economy? Is it the path your children or grandchildren are on? Is it strains in relationships? Is it your health? Is it the future? And these are all things we have in our lives. But put them in the greater context of what God is doing, of what God has done in Christ, what He has done for you. Have no fear. We hear Jesus' exhortation in Matthew 6, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Seek first God's kingdom. That's where life is found, life in Christ. And be assured, believer, you have it. You are accepted. Praise God. Like Rahab, you can go on living in this world, this broken world, this world destined, the sinful parts, to destruction. Because while you are in it, you are not of it. You've been saved, and you will be saved to the uttermost with the resurrection of your body and entering into the new heavens and the new earth That's a future to be joyful about, thankful for. We have hope. Praise God. God rescues those heading to destruction. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are great and glorious, and you have done mighty things. Mighty things on this earth, and even the bringing in of righteousness, and in Christ the resurrection from the dead, the reality of the new heavens, the new earth. Praise be to your name. O Lord, help us to look beyond ourselves, to look beyond our earthly situations, to trust you, to not fear, to hold fast to you, to not try to do anything ourselves, to seek your kingdom and righteousness, to not live in sin. O Lord, grant these things by your grace. We cast ourselves upon you and the grace that is in Jesus. Constantly cast ourselves. And we thank you that we need have no doubt. Lord, for those who are wondering if their sin is too great, lead them to Christ, to cast all their sins on him. For those who aren't assured, struggle with assurance, point them to Christ. Lord, give us what we need to trust you, to love you, to live for you. And may you receive all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.